All right, welcome back to the latest edition of the Mountain West Connection
Radio.
Oh, are we going to do that? Are we going to say Mountain West Connection Radio again?
I don't know. We're still trying to figure out. We're in the workings.
This is the audio version of our website. We'll do with that. So yeah, we're not out debating on stopping and recording again. No, we'll keep it going. Visit MWCConnection.com. This is our podcast of the Mountain West Connection. Jeremy here, stumbling along, trying to lead the ship as we talk about football and everything. And Chris was there joking and laughing about what we're working on.
That's okay. You know what? Everything is scattered around right now. There's chaos in the air. There's cats jumping. There's dogs pouring. It's almost football season. We've got 11 days, people.
Yeah, that's why we're jittery and figuring out what we're going to do until then. No, it's not 11 days. That's when Wyoming begins. We'll talk about later. We are less than that, aren't we?
Oh.
Thursday.
Maybe.
A week from Thursday. Is that right?
A week from Thursday, yeah. So, no, because the first game is the 29th. And as of recording today, this is Sunday, August 18th. So...
Oh, so what I, at the end of my, we're talking with Matt, I misspoke. Whatever, who cares? I just realized that now, because Wyoming, we're discussing all things Wyoming. They begin that Saturday against Nebraska over at the, Omaha, I believe, is that right? Is that where they play?
Yep.
Lincoln, Nebraska, no, we're going to kill Lincoln, Nebraska. I was thinking of college baseball for some weird reason, but we're discussing all things Wyoming today with Matt over at CowboyAltitude.com. Is there any news you want to discuss? Because there's not a ton.
There's not really any news. The only thing, CBS Sports has also predicted Boise State to the Fiesta Bowl this year, so I don't know what any of you guys are thinking. Obviously, it's going to be at the national championship game. So
that's in the Rose Bowl this year.
Rose Bowl!
So you are incorrect. There's that. There's the AP poll. They're number 19. Utah State got some votes to the Fresno. One thing I don't get, how does Fresno State, they're right there for the title game, if not predicted to win, but they're not ranked in any of these polls?
Yeah, I honestly don't get that. The only thing I can think of is just the complete tire fire that Fresno State was, you know, the couple, 2 or 3 years prior to DeRuiter starting.
I thought you were just referring to the Hawaii Bowl and they got smoked by SMU.
Yeah, so I mean that's the only thing I can think of hitting is, you know, oh, the last time they were ranked, they just choked, so we just won't rank them. But I'm sorry, Fresno State, I should put Fresno State much higher. I would put them at 26 right now. I would put them, of course, you know, that those bottom five teams in the AP poll, I would do a little bit differently. I would keep UCLA at 21. By the way, I'm just going ahead and talking out right now.
Yeah.
I would put UCLA at 21, with Northwestern 22, Wisconsin 23. That's fine. I would put Oregon State at 24. I'm leaving USC out of the top 25. In that 25th position, I would put either Baylor or Fresno State. How is Arizona State receiving more votes than Fresno State?
Some people think they can win the South of the Pac-12.
Yeah, right.
And the thing about USC, we know they got some good talent there. The quarterback situation is still up in the air. And we don't know how good they are. They play Hawaii, which it's not going to give us too much. Hawaii, Washington State, BC, Utah State. They could be... You already want them to beat Utah State, which who knows? Even when they play Utah State, we won't know how good they are because the Washington State's not very good. Boston College is in the ACC. Utah State's their best opponent in the first month of the season, or if not, very, very. They're better than. They are better than Washington State and BC. And maybe not by leaps and bounds, but I think they're better. So I don't. I get the ranking because of prestige and history, which shouldn't really go into effect for these fun polls. That this one really is for fun, unless you're number one, I guess, to get the AP title. But this,
yeah, you want to talk about story tradition. Why the hell is Georgia ranked fifth and Clemson ranked eighth?
You think that's be swapped? Georgia got a first place.
They should be much lower.
Wait, hold on, Georgia got a first place vote. Did you see that?
I saw that as well.
Is Craig James still have a vote?
I don't know. It wasn't me, so I don't get a say in these votings. So this is like the only news that's been going on is, you know, already bickering about preseason polls, which, by the way, people, preseason polls, preseason rankings, nothing matters. Let's continue that discussion real quick.
Coaches' polls matter. It counts to who goes to the title. If CBS wants Boise or predicts Boise to go to that title, or not, brainwash me, title game, the BCS game, then that poll certainly does matter quite a bit. It's one third of the positioning.
Fine.
I'm just saying.
It's useless to rank teams preseason.
Well, I get what you're saying, but it's always going to happen. It's never going to end. It's discussion like we are right now. And why doesn't poll speak have the who voted in the AP ballot for 13? Oh, here it is. I'm trying to see who voted for Georgia real quick. That's what I'm doing.
I don't know.
Alabama got 59 votes. There was no Craig James, so that's interesting. Right, because is he still running for Congress somewhere? Texas? Some sort of positioning?
Something like that. Texas Tech has not been ranked, neither SMU, so.
I don't see it. I'm here. I don't know where it's at, so. It's not working, so. Oh, here it is. Hold on. No, that's not it. Forget it. We'll pass. I was trying to find it really quick on the fly, but Georgia's going to get Aaron Murray. He's a good quarterback. But these are playing not on those teams. It doesn't matter. But
I was going to say, you're really comparing Aaron Murray as a quarterback to Derek Carr or David Fales?
Brett Smith, yeah, of course. They're all the contention for the NFL draft, the first or second round pick. But as for the highest, like, Mountain West team, their opponent, Alabama, number one, CSU will get smoked by most likely. Do you think Nevada has any, not to go off topic too much, but really quick.
This isn't going off topic.
Well, Wyoming show. As we said before the show, we're just doing Wyoming. There's no news to go about. Really quick, Nevada and Florida State, any shot? They're ranked number 11, the second high, next ranked team of the Mountain West opponent. No? Okay.
I would love Nevada. No. Never mind. No. I'd like to see UCLA barely pull out an overtime win over Nevada off a fumble in the most humiliating fashion for Nevada.
How about a pick? How about a pick six to beat UCLA for Nevada? That'd be fitting.
Okay, that would be fitting.
By defensive back.
Sorry, but as much as I would love to see a Mountain West team beat UCLA and beat Florida State, who's always back, it's not gonna happen. So,
yeah, sure, good point. The only other news, kind of, Colorado State still looking for a quarterback. They have Nick Stevens, and their true freshman. I was reading some stuff. Their receiver core is looking good, which is going to help out with the quarterback. That's kind of the news. Well, as we discussed in our interview, Brandon Miller did pretty good for him. I mean, his latest scrimmage, there's not much. Boise State, Geraldo Baldwin is expected to break out for the third straight season. That's also news.
I hate to say it, but that's about as back news as Florida State being back.
Yes, that's my favorite. Because I remember a couple years ago when Bruce Feldman was at ESPN saying he's his breakout player. Not that their stuff happened. Wasn't that 2 years ago he was suspended for the stupid plane ticket or borrowing a car or something from his host family? But wasn't he involved with that the first time around?
Yeah.
Okay, I was trying to think about that. But that's all we got for the news. We're going to now just jump into our Wyoming conversation here with our good friend Matt from CowboyAltitude.com. All right, and now we have our guest right now over from CowboyAltitude.com, the road, or let's call Matt on the show because that's his name, Matt. And so what's going on with you, Matt, so far with as you prepare for the season?
I'm just kind of getting caught up myself, so I definitely appreciate your patience, and I'll do the best I can job to help you guys out with getting caught up on the pokes. But you've done a great job on your site so far this summer, so nice work on that.
Thanks, so. You've been hanging around, having some vacation, it looks like. Where did you go? You're on some trips to camping, it looks like, if I recall from stalking you on Facebook, I think. You guys take some cool trips?
I was actually, I spent a week up in Whistler, B.C. Had a great time up there.
Nice. Very nice.
Always exciting. I did that with some cabin. No internet, no nothing, just hung out in the cabin. No electricity for a week, so that was kind of interesting. But it's always fun to get away, but now it's time to go. So the first thing about Wyoming, I noticed you kind of put some of our list. We're doing a big top 50 list, and you put checking out your site over there about kind of what we did. How do you feel where we placed Robert Heron or Brett Smith? I got Heron at 19, Smith at 14, out of a collective, not just me, but with six people kind of vote on everything. Do you feel that? Let's just start there. Do you like those placements, higher, lower? We've had some complaints on freshmen, apparently.
I definitely think Pope fans, I mean, they're definitely really loyal to Brett Smith. He's done a fantastic job the first 2 years, and they would certainly probably consider him a top 10 player in the league, at least. So it's just really competitive. I know, I mean, there's so many good quarterbacks right now in the Mountain West, especially with David Falls and Chucky Heaton coming in as well. So there's just a lot of talent in the league, which is a great thing overall. But I certainly would see him being top 10 worthy for sure.
It's just, I do too. I think he's barely, if he's behind anybody, it's not by much. Maybe, I think we still have Cody Fajardo coming up, but I think he's the only guy that may be higher than him. But like David Fells, Derek Carl's guys right there. I just think with last season, where he got the concussion, missed a couple of games for injury, doesn't play in a good team, doesn't help either to get kind of up there. But his sophomore year, he's a junior now, right? Am I correct on that?
Correct, yeah. He's a true junior, never redshirted at all.
I think he was freshman year, we had like 700 rushing yards. So I think he could be one of the best talents. I think Chris agrees with me a little bit, if I'm right on that, about how good he could be.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of the things with Brett Smith, if, you know, he's a hot-headed guy, although he's good-natured, but I think if he had learned to calm his act a little bit on the football field, we would have seen a lot more explosiveness from him in general instead of, you know, slight dejections.
Is there any concern with him at all besides that? Because he got kicked out of the one game, the injury, because he likes to run a lot, and in Dave Christensen's offense, they want to move him around. Not necessarily be a run first, but move the pocket and do those sort of things. Is there any concern with, outside of maybe playing smarter about injury-wise that he should be doing?
He's definitely a passionate player, which is great, and he's all about Wyoming and everything. So he's been just really, I mean, he's a heads up guy. He hasn't got any trouble at all, like off the field. He puts his heart out there and he plays with emotion. Sometimes he may just wish he would kind of monitor things a little bit easier at some times, especially like in the Nevada game when he got tossed. But really, he's done a great job overall, and everything. So I think people love the way that he plays.
Is he going to run more this year? Because last year he had a huge drop-off.
He did. That was by purpose, yeah. Oh. So they're trying to protect him and everything. So they don't want him to expose himself as much. So that's why his running yards were definitely limited last year. So I wouldn't expect him to run for 400 yards. That would probably be a high end for him.
So you have the 1-2 punch of Brett Smith and Robert Heron, and you know, obviously Brett Smith would be the number one punch, I think, for 80% of our listeners. Let's ask a metaphor question. What would you imagine in terms of a sandwich what Brett Smith and Robert Heron would be? It's kind of a silly question. Like, what kind of toppings?
Toppings?
Yes.
Oh, let's see. So, Haran's from he's from Cali. So I guess they're all both West Coast because Brett Smith's from Oregon. I guess a nice turkey sandwich. There's some cranberries on there and a little. I don't know, a little added extra, but some lettuce as well. Maybe a little Chipotle mayo.
You're already making me hungry for Wyoming football. There we go. So the silliness aside, though, I mean, Heron is obviously going to contribute to the offense, and we know that, as you mentioned before, that they're trying to protect Brett Smith. Mm-hmm. Is there somebody else that they're going to be looking to as a third punch? Who's going to contribute as equally? Is there more of? I mean, we know that Heron is. Is there going to be more of a running game involved this year?
The running game definitely did not live up to the usual standards last year. Two freshmen got most of the load. Sean Wick and DJ May. DJ May is likely to redshirt this year. He tore a pectoral muscle during the summer, and so he's likely out. So Brandon Miller is back, though. He missed the spring practice, but he's actually really strong so far this fall camp. Sean Wick has gained some weight as well, so I think the experience is going to help. As far as a power running game goes, Cowboys are still not going to be as dominant on the ground. And really, the strong point for the Cowboys, though, is going to be the depth at wide receiver. Like, it's incredible how many people have stepped up this fall camp, and then the depth they had already is going to carry over. So, I mean, there's a solid rotation for the older receivers.
Yeah, I was looking with Dominic Ruffin and Jalen Clairvoyant. You got quite a few guys. You did lose, though, and Chris McNeil, excuse me, from last year's team. So, I like Aaron. He had missed a couple of games, but he had, like, I don't know how he did it, but he had, 30 reception for 8 touchdowns, and he averaged over 20 yards of reception. How, even though he played 8 games, had so, I guess, not a lot of receptions if you think about it for comparatively for touchdowns. What are they going to use him for? Is he going to be a deep threat, or is he just the guy Brett Smith went to last year in the red zone?
Oh, he's definitely a deep threat. So, I mean, he scored 2 touchdowns against Texas last year. One time he stiff-armed a receiver and broke for like 80 yards. So he is definitely a speedster for sure. And actually, the last 2 seasons in season openers, he has had 2 touchdown catches apiece. So you should mark it down against Nebraska. Rob Brown's going to score 2 touchdowns.
All right, it's done. I'll make the trip and make a prop bet somewhere.
setting the pool right now.
So, okay, running back, is Brandon Miller, or is he for sure going to stay running back? Are they going to make any last second switch through like they've done within the past couple seasons?
Yeah, it's always been that kind of shuffle with him, and they said that this time, yes, he's definitely sticking at running back. Hopefully that's the case. I think they definitely need that senior leadership with that position anyway, so he'll be the number one starter. I mean, it's still going to be a rotation. Sean Wick will get probably second most amount of reps. And then also, true freshman Omar Stover, he's done a nice job in the spring camp, and he's been all right so far this fall. He's banged up a little bit, but he definitely is going to contribute. And then there's Tedder Easton, who is kind of more like a fullback style. He's definitely the largest guy on the Ross on the running.
260, running backs. Even 6 feet tall.
Yeah, he's a boss. He's kind of a hoss there, so he's going to be great for like goal line situations. He did well last year, except he fumbled one time, and then that kind of cost him some playing time. But hopefully, if he holds on to the ball, he'll be just fine.
I got to ask one question about the receiving core. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the offensive line here. Is this Eric Nisiosha? Is this Mark's younger brother, I'm assuming?
Correct, yeah. So they're both from Germany, the Nzachas came over, and he's done a good job. He was hurt last year, so he redshirted and everything, but he's certainly going to play this year. He's been working out mostly with the second team offense most of this fall.
Well, he's listed at 6'1", 208. I mean, the guy's a large guy. Is he going to be utilized more as a slot receiver right now, or are we not sure where he's going to go?
I haven't seen it on video, so I'm not sure where he's lining up typically, but I believe he's going to be more of a slot guy. Definitely someone who you'd want to keep your eyes on is actually a transfer from Colorado. He's a senior who never played for the Buffaloes when he was there. But
how is that
been
possible? Is it because
fantastic
talent-wise? Because they're not very good.
They just had like coaching changes and just never kind of got that much playing time. And he just kind of fell through the cracks. And I think probably just kind of got down because it was a tough situation. And then he's kind of moved to Wyoming, and this is an opportunity for him to step up. But Jared Darden, 6'5", 220 pounds. He is a big guy with great hands. He's not the fastest player out there, but he's a large target, and he had 95 yards in the first scrimmage of receiving. 3 catches for 95 yards and a touchdown in the first scrimmage. So he's really been impressive.
Nice. Very awesome. Okay, so I'm going to go ahead and move into the offensive line here. You lose Josh Leonard, who is your left tackle, and you also lost your first All-Mountain West team, Nick Carlson, the center. Who's going to replace him? I mean, looking at the roster chart here, you've got 3 centers who all probably have a chance to replace him. You got Chase Roullier, the redshirt freshman, Rafe Keeley, the sophomore, and Albert Perez, the center. And then along with that, you've got a whole bunch of other guards and tackles, none of them who have really played too much up to this point.
Yeah, that so center was obviously a huge question mark with Nick Carlson graduating. He was all Mountain West last year, so he was a stud. So he's definitely missed. When they went through spring practice, they tried a bunch of people out. No one stepped up, won a job, and Coach Christensen was pretty mad about their performance, and he was really hoping that Albert Perez would be solid. And really, he's done a great job. He didn't arrive on campus until July, but since that time, he's only had a couple bad snaps throughout all spring, all fall practice. So really, it's his job. Christensen, it'd be his job when he came, and he stepped right in and done a great job so far. So as long as he stays healthy, the offensive line should be decent. But if he goes down, it's not looking good for the depth at center whatsoever.
But what about the rest? Because last year they were about middle of the pack in sacks allowed. Looks like they're 26 here, middle of the pack. Got to keep Brett Smith upright. Because you're bringing in, looks like, what, three new starters, I believe. Is there going to be overall enough people to keep him up and get everything going to what Dave Christian wants to do in that attack?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tyler Strong, he's the veteran. I mean, he's definitely the best lineman of anyone. And then Jake Jones did play last year. And then there's two junior college transfers that are getting that are stepped in. Like, they came last year, but they didn't play at all, so they had the opportunity to redshirt, add some weight. Walker Madden, and then also Connor Raines. And, I mean, Madden, he's 6'9". He's almost 300 pounds now. He's listed at 280 on the roster, but he's definitely put on a few pounds lately. But at 6'9", he's a large body. And then Raines is 6'7", 318. He's not quite as great at pass protection, but he's still adding some size and some experience.
What kind of overall do you think you're comfortable with who they're having step up and how well? Because the running game is kind of, ever since Elvestre Alexander left, last year was okay, not the best. Needs to improve to get better. Do you feel they could help out whoever, Brandon Miller or whoever else is running the ball back there and protect? Like, overall, what's your comfort level over everything for the line? Because if they're not doing very well, it could be even a longer season than it has been in the past.
I feel definitely better about the offensive line now than I did last spring, because it seemed like they could not do anything right. But Perez has been kind of an anchor, and then with Strong right next to him at left guard, I think they'll be all right this year. Probably not as strong as the first couple of years, but they'll definitely be all right.
All right, so looking at the defense now, there was Wyoming had a very weak defense. They ranked 108th in the country, gave up tons of yards rushing, and did a little bit better against the pass. But what does the defensive line have to do to stop that rush?
You know, the defensive line, like, they actually did really well last year as far as, like, stopping runs up the middle. The problem was when runners would get to the outside, if they get past the linemen, is with the linebacker secondary would be an issue as far as giving up running yards. So that's really what needs to step up. And so far it seems like the problem with missed tackles and not wrapping up, it's not solved yet. So that's really been the long-time issue for the Cowboy defense.
Is it worth something like switching to more of a 3-3-5 nickel to basically try and put more emphasis in shutting down the run?
Is it just
a playbook type possibly?
Chris told me he's the second-year defensive coordinator, and he took a lot of flack last year for the defense performance, but now he's kind of had more time to install some things. And Cowboys have gone into a 4-3. He's really switching them back to a 3-4 or even like a 3-5 situation. But he's really changing things around and working with the defense to just give them multiple looks.
So with who you have, okay, making the change, hopefully that will help out because you want to not be terrible in any part of the game to be a good team. So they lost a few guys. Like, is it, for the guys they lost, any big deal that you guys lost since it wasn't that good in the first place? Because you lost Gwali Muhammad, the top two tacklers had 160, him and Corey Jones. Is that a concern just because you lose the experience and what they contributed? Or how does that kind of work out, like who they're bringing in with the new scheme and everything, and then who they lost?
So definitely there's loss of experience with Muhammad and Corey Jones. They were great guys, great players and everything, and they always were high up there as far as tackles go. I think hopefully the team has more depth now and a lot more athleticism. What the Cowboys did is they really took kind of a gamble on junior college players with the latest recruiting class. And they brought in a lot of junior college linebackers. So far, they haven't really cracked like the starting rotation at a linebacker. But if they're providing a lot more depth for like the second level defense and third string, that'll just really help push everyone. And right now, probably the biggest, most impressive player this fall on defense has been Mark Nzasha. He's always been kind of a freak talent wise, but coming from Germany and the level of play being so much less in the U.S., it's taken some time to get adjusted. But he's back at linebacker after spending a year at safety. He started off originally at linebacker, went to safety, and now he's back at linebacker outside. And he's 6'3", 230, but he's just a beast. He's so fast and strong. He can really get into the backfield really quickly and cause some problems. So he should be definitely someone you want to watch on the defense then.
Is he going to take more of a leadership role this year? I mean, he's going into his junior year. He played a little bit last year. Is he going to be the one that defense looks to kind of lead everybody?
I would say Devin Harris is probably more of a leader for the linebackers. He is a senior, and he was great for the Cowboys as a sophomore. Last year, he played great in the Texas game, but he actually got hurt, and then he missed the rest of the season, essentially. So he's really the leader on the defense. And then in the secondary, you have Marquestin Huff. He's also a senior. And so he's going to be really the leader. He's switched to free safety this year after spending the first 3 years at cornerback.
All right, with the secondary, I assume it's safety, that's the strength of the defense, right?
Definitely it's a pretty good strength. They have had some issues with injuries so far this camp, but nothing major. As long as everyone stays at least healthy and they can play, this should definitely be a solid group for the Cowboys.
Yeah, you have Blair Burns as a freshman All-American a couple years ago. Surprised he didn't make the first team All-Mountain West, but the secondary is pretty strong. Darren Smith, Ben Weeker, if I can say that name right, San Jose State. A lot of good guys. So if there's, because it looks like kind of going off last year's stats and everything, which it tells only part of the story, they didn't really get to the quarterback or too much pressure. Because in my opinion, if they can at least make some pressure, make a team throw, defense probably could skyrocket, even if they're middle of the pack nationally, like in the 60 or 50s range, which is double the improvement, they could actually make some noise. They can force teams to pass on them instead of just running and getting to the outside and just doing what they want for 6 yards of carry.
Definitely. And one name that's actually really stepped up this year in the secondary, he's also a junior college transfer. He actually signed this summer, and so he's kind of a late signee, but Tyran Finley, he went to Contra Costa Community College in California, but he's originally from Birmingham, Alabama. He has like a 4.3 40, so he's definitely quick. He's made some great plays when he's been playing in the scrimmages. Also, he's going to contribute at the return positions. He's been practicing a lot, doing punt returns as well as kickoff returns, so he'll be a factor on special teams as well.
Do you think I got one other thing really quick, but do you think the defense overall is going to be, it's hard not to be me, but it's hard to be worse than last year, 108th in the nation. What kind of improvement overall are you expecting, or is there a good amount of hope that they can jump up 30 spots or 40 spots and just be better in general?
I guess each year we've kind of been hoping that, the experience is going to pay off and everything, so I can't guarantee anything, because it's been so long since we've really seen that improvement. You certainly hope it's going to happen, but there's no no guarantee. And really, it's going to be, I think, similar kind of story to the last couple of years. Offense is going to score a lot of points, and then it'll be up to the defense to try and hold on and not mess it up too much.
I see. All right, we're going to get to schedule really quick. One thing I forgot to mention, I just realized partway through an offense. How does it feel losing your coordinator to New Mexico State, your Greg Brandon?
Greg Brandon? Well, he was a great guy. I loved Greg Brandon, but really I think this was a decision by Christensen because he really wanted to have more influence on the offense. And so what he's done is basically he's doing all the play calling now. So this is his baby. Really, I think this is a make or break year for Christensen because he is now doing all the calling of the plays and let Brandon go. He does have like co-offensive coordinators, but I mean, Christensen's the one behind the offense now. And what he's done is a huge emphasis. Like all spring, he's just emphasizing the pace and the how much they get, how many plays they can per practice. So what you're going to see is really the speed of the Cowboys offense is going to be kind of Oregon-esque this year. So they'll during the scrimmages, I've heard that the only thing that's been slowing them down is having to wait for the ref to actually put the ball down on the ground so they can snap it. Because they're trying to put as much pressure they possibly can on the defense.
Okay, with that, with like Christian, is he any chance of him being let go if they don't improve off of last year?
I think after a 4-8 season, yeah, if they do not show improvement, it could be definitely possible. Because he's really put kind of all of the eggs in his basket by taking over the play calling duties. So hopefully they'll break the trend though, because the trend is they've gone bowl game losing season, bowl game losing season. So hopefully this year will be another bowl game for them so far. Which honestly, 3 bowl games in 5 years for Wyoming, that's a pretty positive era overall. So
yeah, it would be, yeah, and they won that first one. I remember that New Mexico Bowl was pretty exciting back in 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was lots of fun. Okay, so let's look at your schedule, because we have now 11 days
until
the start of the season. And so the start of the season for Wyoming is you go into Lincoln and you play Nebraska.
Yep, that is happening, isn't it?
Yes, another big
Please tell me you guys aren't going to be the ones to make Taylor Martinez into a Heisman candidate.
I hope not. We did a pretty decent job of containing Martinez a couple years ago. Rex Burkhead's the one who made it look like a Heisman candidate, though. He ran all over the Pokes. So I think it'll be the offense will be able to score some points. As far as stopping that option game of the Huskers, though, that'll be a tough proposition.
Do you think with like their changed offense, not that they've ever been slow, but they've been so much faster? Because the Big Ten's full of football. When the Wyoming rushes out there and play every 15 seconds, do you see that? Because Wyoming did that last year a little bit. They passed a lot, they want to swing around everything with this new pace. And now they know what. Let me rephrase that. They know what's going on, but is that how much of an advantage would that be for changing to going as fast as they can against a team that may not. Nobody does that in the Big Ten too often. Just Northwestern, that's about it.
Yeah, I think it definitely would be an advantage, especially going into the first game of the season. I mean, the Custers may be kind of not really prepared for that kind of aggressive attack mentally, and so that may help the Cowboys catch them off guard a little bit. I mean, Wyoming, they were hanging there right with Texas for the first half last year in the season opener, and the Longhorns just took over in the third quarter. And really, 2 years ago when the Huskers came to Laramie, Wyoming was right there for the first half. So there's definitely opportunities. It's just trying to stay consistent for all 4 quarters. That'll be the challenging thing, is to keep up with the Cornhuskers Huskers run game really for 4 quarters. That'll be tough too.
Yeah, remember that every time they Wyoming or Texas, they play Nebraska, first half they're right there, second half not so much.
Yeah.
Is there a way Wyoming wins this game?
It'll definitely have to involve some big plays on defense, winning the turnover battle. That would be a requirement, I'd have to say. overall. I'm not expecting a win, though. I'm just going to be realistic. I mean, I think they're 26, 28-point underdogs right now, which seems definitely high to me. But I don't see the Cowboys coming out week one with a victory.
Do you kind of expect the offense to make some noise in this game? Because I think their offense could be, assuming Brandon Miller and whoever's running the ball does an adequate job, they have enough wide receiver depth and playmakers to make some noise. Do you think they could put up a good amount of points on a Nebraska team that should have a pretty good defense?
I would definitely say so, yes. Yeah, I think the offense will definitely be all right. That's a good challenge for them to start off the year. And then, I mean, if they can handle that situation, they should definitely be able to do well the rest of the way, because it shouldn't get that much tougher for anyone else that they're playing.
Well, we already marked down Robert Heron having two touchdowns in the Nebraska game. So,
yeah, so we're at 14 points at least, right?
Yeah, right? Okay. So, moving on, Idaho, moving on. Northern Colorado.
That's a guaranteed win, right? Idaho, I'm assuming, at home.
I hope so. We had to go to overtime last year against the Vandals in Idaho, so hopefully that
but you're
be
not in Kitty Dome. You will be in the mountains, quite literally in the touchdown mountains.
Yeah, I was in the Kitty Dome last year for that game, and it was a total mess. It was so hot in there, they had to turn off the ventilation system because there's wildfires going on. So that was really a
no
really long game that was torturous to
no
endure.
I'm telling you, Idaho is a Division I AA team. Let's, okay.
we'd get on them all the time. That's no need to pile on too much. To all the time every time we get a chance, that better be a win, because
so yeah,
FCS schools, Chris will take that about. I know he has something about Northern Colorado.
Northern Colorado, they're definitely a weaker team than Big Sky, so that should be a pretty easy W. And then the trip to Air Force has happened afterwards. I'm actually going to be...
Wait, hold on. You can't just skip over FCS. You've lost the... Oh, wait, no, wait. Yeah, you guys lost the last 2 years from the FCS team. Is that right?
Last year we did lose to Cal Poly, yes. But
hey, Cal Poly was a playoff team and they made the semifinals, so shut up.
I know, and I
remember
Cal
different
Poly.
Team.
Northern Colorado was not in the same tier as Cal Poly whatsoever.
I just making sure we didn't just gloss over because there was a loss last year, but no, they should take care of business. So let's schedule. Air Force, is that really a big rival? Because I know there's a CSU game. Is that just as big almost? Or is
that'll
just...
be a good game, yeah. I'm actually going to be in the Springs for the game this year.
Awesome.
And then, I mean, last year there was the whole Howdy Doody incident that happened.
Right. Yes.
So that will happen again. So we'll see what happens this year. So definitely a little bit interesting storyline.
Okay, so moving on. We're just quickly breezing through every game. Texas State. This is kind of an interesting game because they're coached by Dennis Franchon, right?
Yes.
Yes, yeah. So, obviously, they did fairly well last year. Is this going to be kind of a challenge, a trap game for Wyoming, or are they going to just go out and take care of business? Because you are at Texas State.
Yes.
You are in San Marcos.
Yeah, so definitely in St. Marcos, so it's a big trip. I think it'll be exciting for a lot of the kids that are from Texas to go back home for a few days. But I could certainly see it as a trap game. I think the Bobcats, I mean, they're recruited really well, and they have some talent. Obviously, they're right in Texas, so they can get pretty quality players right in their backyard. So I expect this to be a challenging game, and I don't guarantee a victory. I think definitely Wyoming has to be ready if they're going to take on the Bobcats.
Plus, it's on the Longhorn Network, so does it really happen?
I know. Oh, it's the second straight year we've been messed over with that Longhorn Network deal.
Yeah, I just saw it. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't know that was named, or maybe I forgot about it. But yeah, they're University of Texas school. They can be on the Longhorn Network, I guess, or ESPN, whatever they're – what league are they? Are they in Conference USA, is that right?
Sunbelt.
Yeah. Oh, yes. That's right. They moved to the Sunbelt this year.
I forget all the other. I was about to say WAC. Wait a minute. That's long gone. I remember all those schools. Some went to CUSA, some went to Sunbelt. So they'll make it sure. So, yeah, they won a couple games last year. They were, it's probably not a gimme game, but something where somewhat challenging. But I still think Wyoming should pull that out.
Yeah. I mean, they were 4-8 last year, but then they won at Houston. That was kind of like the huge shocker of week one when they beat Houston. Obviously, Houston turn out to be terrible.
Yeah, until I found out how bad they really were.
But, I mean, they squashed Idaho last year 38-7. And Wyoming barely beat Idaho, so.
But they did crush New Mexico State, the mighty Aggies.
Yes.
Speaking of New Mexico, points, so yeah. Speaking of New Mexico,
land of a champion,
Football Bob. I don't know if you've been listening to the podcast recently or me kind of just babbling on how I think New Mexico is going to make a bowl game 12-0. I see this game as really interesting because you do have New Mexico who's back on the upswing, and you have Wyoming who's kind of been in a state of confusion, let's put it that way. The Lobos come to Laramie. I think this is the game that can really define whether or not either of these teams will have a possibility of making a bowl game this year. So, circle 12th of October. What are your thoughts, your initial thoughts on this?
I was really impressed with the job that Bob David did last year at New Mexico. So he's got him in the right direction. Their secondary was atrocious, though. So and I know they've lost a bunch of guys already, like some twins that transferred.
Yeah. They were
so if they can find anyone with a pulse to play in the secondary that can tackle, they may be decent, but that's really going to be the question mark for them.
I have to look in the MLS.
Yeah, the office twins in the form. I mean, passing game should be as good as expect. That could be good. However, then you got to counter that with Casey Carey, who can run the ball probably at will against most teams. And at one means linebacker ends cannot do anything. That could probably counteract that good passing attack the one we could have in that game. So I could be, because at that point, not that we're going to go through each team alone, but at that point, I could see them, because it's after a bye week. Do you think 3-2 is reasonable to be, or after those first five games? Because that's where, if they can get past New Mexico, that might be able to put them at four wins. Because I could,
yeah,
I think Idaho, Northern Colorado, and Texas State should be wins.
Yeah, I would definitely. Yeah, if Wyoming, they need to be at least 3-2 heading into October. And the good thing is they get a bye week to start off the month, so they'll have a week of rest before the Lobos come to town. And then also, that is homecoming as well. So hopefully they get a good crowd for them.
With the game, Matthew, because that could go either way. Then you got CSU. That game's actually on TV this year. Because I think, was that correct, last year? Just online, right? That's the Rams website, I think, for the bronze boot.
Yeah, so this is actually, due to scheduling things, the second straight year it's going to be in Laramie. And
Cowboys
just crushed them.
I forgot about that.
That's so weird. If they can get beat Mexico, that's four wins. Then Colorado State, that's five. And so that's those kind of three games: Texas State, Mexico, Colorado State. Those are certainly ones they need to win for sure.
And then you got the killer part of the schedule: San Jose State, Fresno State, Boise State. Two of those are on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Any chances of winning any of those?
San Jose State, I'm definitely interested to see how they adjust to the Mountain West. It's going to be a step up for them. But, I mean, the more I kind of research them and read about them, they're probably pretty darn legit. So I'm not expecting that to be an easy game. And playing on the road is also going to make it tougher. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that goes. That would be, I would say, the easiest, perhaps the best chance for the Cowboys to win would be at San Jose State. They're hosting Fresno State, but, Derek Carr, they just tore apart the Wyoming defense last year.
All right, then, cool. Say they lose Ogallala, we'll see. That may or may not be the case. But then the only other last, my winnable game, Hawaii, which I can't lose to Hawaii, man.
Paniolo Trophy.
It was back. If they found it.
Who had it? Who had it last? Wasn't it gone for so long?
That is kind of a source of contention. So someone had it and disappeared. That'd be nice if there was a surprise and they busted a new one. But
who should have had it? Who should have been holding on to it?
I believe we won the last game of the series, so.
Yeah, you did. thank you, Wikipedia.
Probably when they played in the WAC back in almost a decade
yes.
ago. And then, okay, the last game, the other newcomer in the league is Utah State. How would you – I think they're more legit than San Jose State, but I think they're both going to do better than, say, Nevada did for that transition. Mm-hmm. Do you put Utah State on the same level as San Jose State, that they're going to be a legit team with Chucky Keaton? They do it by this time. They know what they have with Joe Hill and everything. Their linebacking core is probably the best in the league, if not beyond. How would you kind of compare that to the San Jose State matchup?
I would say that is going to likely be tougher than San Jose State. Wyoming played at Utah State a couple years ago as well, and that game started off really well, and then after that it was just all Aggies, and that was a beating. Because their power run game just demolished the Cowboy defense again, so that's not looking like a good matchup right now with their strengths versus our weakness.
All right, so overall, let's kind of just wrap this thing up here. Overall, big picture view, what would you say there? Do you think they have any shot at a bowl game at all this year? Like, how comfortable would you put in, say, they'll get to that 6-win mark?
I would say 6 wins is definitely possible. I say with Idaho, Northern Colorado, Texas State, that'd be 3. And then, New Mexico, Colorado State, and Hawaii. I would say with those 6, they can at least be eligible.
So all the home games? That's what it looks like, except for Texas State, if I'm correct with that. Yeah. But
yeah, all the home games, and then except for Fresno State.
Yeah, you're looking at prediction machine. They put like 50,000, whatever they do their simulations, they put Wyoming right. They put basically the same thing as New Mexico, or not New Mexico, but Nevada, like just a hair under 6 wins. Do you think it's like out of this worldly? Like, I see you get those games if they can get to a bowl game. Would it be just like, how would you feel if they don't make the bowl game? Or is it kind of, let's rephrase it again. I know that's the goal, to go to a bowl game. It should be a goal every year. Would there be a huge disappointment if they don't get to that, the 6 wins? Because the last half is a brutal schedule.
So I think, if the 2 years in a row they don't go to bowl games, or if they just finish under 500, I think that's going to be a really tough thing for Christensen. That could be perhaps a trigger that his tenure could be ending if that happens again. So it'll be interesting to see how it happens. I mean, obviously, you got to see how the whole season plays out. But, I mean, if everyone's healthy and they still don't make it back to a bowl game or become at least eligible, it could be bye-bye time.
Even if they get 5 wins, you think so?
Yeah, that'd be 1 win. That'd be a 1-game improvement, at least. So, it's gonna depend on like which games they.
Yeah, it's gonna have to ask like what they end up. Is there a job losing game on the schedule or job saving game?
Well, he hasn't lost against Colorado State last year. So if he keeps that streak going in the border war, that always builds up some goodwill.
Nice. Excellent. So realistic. Win loss.
I'm saying 6-6.
6-6.
Saying 6-6. All right.
6-6. And what's your to achieve that goal? What do you think has, besides the normal injury stuff, less turnovers, or create turnovers, less turnovers? What do you think is the big key for a good season? What's your most important fact that you want the team to do well? They must do this, and you can't just say Brett Smith throwing for 4,000 yards.
Well, yeah, he needs to stay healthy. That would be a huge key. But, I mean, the defense, they need to show something. They have to improve after a couple rough years. I mean, if they can improve just slightly, get the 70s range as far as, 70 best defense, it would be definitely a big step up. If they can improve that way, I think that would be the best way for the Pokes to win a lot more games.
And so who is your pick for the title game, and who will win the Mountain West this year?
Mountain West? So I guess Wyoming would not be in the Mountain West Championship game if they go with a 6-6 record, so I guess that's off the table. Really, I see Boise State taking it in the Mountain Division. As far as the West, I'd probably say Fresno State. Yeah.
Okay,
so Bulldogs and Broncos.
And who do you think will take that, depending? Like, who do you think would win that game?
Who would win the game? I'm still, I think Boise's still going to take care of that.
Safe bet for the past decade, seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard to bet against them with their track record.
Everybody's saying they got the ranking, schedule's not super easy for who they have to go on the road. That's probably what everybody's saying. And so if they're, let's do one last one, meeting real quick. Who's a player? We should have asked this much earlier, but we're just kind of winging it as we normally do, it seems like. Who's a player that will make a big impact that we don't know about? Whether it be one of the guys from Germany, we mentioned a freshman running back. Who's like a player who should step up, or who you've heard about or read about or seen that should be a key player on this team?
You know, I think it'll be really interesting to see how Lucas Waka does this year. He is a redshirt freshman. When he came in, he was definitely a smaller guy, and there was kind of concern that he was too small to play a position, but he's a linebacker. And right now he's listed at 214. I believe it was like down like 180, 190 when he came in. But he's 6'1", 214. And basically the rule is that he has to, in any meeting, team meeting, he has to be eating.
Oh, yes, I read about that.
Yeah, so he's packed. He's just eating peanut butter sandwiches all the time. But he's definitely a really quick player, really fast, and a solid tackler. So I think with his speed, he could definitely be one of the leaders as far as tackles go for the Cowboys. And he's done a great job. He came out of kind of nowhere to grab the starting job during the spring. That wasn't expected at all. So it's impressive that he's been able to hang on and keep that job.
It's okay. That's good to hear. Get these players who maybe come out of nowhere and do a good thing. I heard about the eating thing. It reminded me of the Jordan Wynn diet in Utah. I'd wake up at 2 a.m. and like a 3,000-calorie milkshake. You're always eating whole pizzas, peanut butter jelly, anything to pack on some weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's always fun to see. Like, yes, I gained 10 pounds by eating, whatever. Just gain the weight, kid. That's all I really care about, it seems like. All right, so that's kind of what we got with Wyoming here. So on the record bowl game, yes or no, is that correct? You say 6-6, lock it up.
Lock it, yeah. So back to the New Mexico Bowl again. Maybe a little wild and crazy, go to the Idaho Bowl, Idaho Potato Bowl.
You would probably like that because it's closer to get to if you can swing a game.
It is, yeah. I'm going to go to Boise this fall, November, for the game. So if I have to make a repeat trip to Boise, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, if you're in a bowl game.
Though officially, I am against cold weather bowl games. I don't like them. So the Hawaii Bowl could also be a nice compromise.
Would you go to Hawaii if you could? Or is that in the plans at all?
That would be kind of short notice. Yes. But I do definitely have plans to go there in 2014, because Wyoming will be playing in Honolulu.
There you go.
For sure. So that's on my docket.
Awesome. All right. So let's just want to make sure, because I know you're not out there in the Wyoming area, so curious to what teams. So you're going to Boise Air Force game. Pretty soon, maybe bowl game if it's back in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. So that's what we got our show here for with Wyoming area, Matt, or the road. Sorry, the road over at cowboyaltitude.com. He's up and running, ton of new stuff coming up pretty soon. And I guess just look for Nebraska to, we'll see what happens. What do we see? 11 days, is that right? So the football season officially, or the Saturday kicks off. Okay, 11 days. Sure, we'll go with that. 11 days. So thanks for joining us, and everybody check out cowboyaltitude.com for everything Wyoming. All right, and one last time, that was Matt or the road from cowboyaltitude.com. Got to get that correct. So 6-6, bowl game. Is that your same thoughts?
No. Actually, I am predicting another 4-8 season for Wyoming.
So I assume, okay, if you go by that logic, they only beat Idaho, Northern Colorado, and I will guess Texas State and CSU are your wins?
Yeah, so
lose to Hawaii?
Idaho, Northern Colorado, beat Colorado State, and beat Hawaii. Those are the four.
Okay, so lose to Texas State. Because they have a home schedule to make a bowl game.
You know what? Either Texas State or Colorado State. One of those two.
Okay, because they have the home schedule. They're going to make a challenge at Idaho, Northern Colorado, New Mexico, CSU, and Hawaii. And another one is Fresno, which odds of them winning are... Unless Fresno does implode when they have expectations, and it is after a bye week.
Yeah.
Just saying. Just keep not saying. Just saying. Nothing.
No, of course. Of course. And also, Wyoming is just one of those teams to randomly beat a team that they shouldn't. So, I mean, we could easily see them, you know, somehow beating San Jose State or somebody else that they just absolutely should not beat and then just go back to mediocrity.
They wish they had UNLV on the schedule this year.
Right, right.
Swap out Fresno for UNLV. But their team, no, seriously, if they can get their defense even to be average, I think they could put a heck of a scare into Utah State, San Jose State, maybe even Fresno State. Because I think you said they're 108th overall last year. If they can get to 50, and if they can, work with me here, people. It's going to take this to equal this. But if their defense can be at least average, which means they're okay, we know what Brett Smith can do. If Robert Herring can have come close to his touchdown to reception ratio last year and be that deep threat, and all the experience at wide receiver, if they can get everything to go in Christensen in not a make or break year, but pretty close to it, if they get their offense going and defense be just okay, I could see a bowl game, and I could see them maybe pulling off. If they're going to pull off an upset win, I think it might be – I'd probably go with Utah State at the end of the year because that could be a fighting for a bowl game. They would need win number 6. But if they can get that offense going and find a running game that's above average, the offense
might
be comparable to anybody else in the league. It's just the defense to be just okay. And they got Blair Burns, that secondary back there, to catch – he had, 10 pass breakups last year. If they throw to his side of the field, basically – or they're going to shut down his field and not throw to him. And they have to work another half. So I think if things go the right way, which you could say for any team, obviously, but if they can get their offense on track, no injuries, no ejections, I could see 6 wins and maybe possibly get an upset against one of the better teams.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Do you think there's any – because we already have a post up from a fan post up, somebody kind of saying, put your predictions. A few people saying a Wyoming is their shocker team of the year.
No. I mean, I would not – call the surprising team of the year Wyoming. I think this is something that we're going to save for our big preview stuff.
Yeah, we will. I meant people just check that out to basically what we're going to do for our preview in a couple days anyways. So just kind of just check it out, like surprise team, dark horse, player of the year, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Whatever.
In terms of, the only surprise that I would see out of Wyoming, outside of if they make a bowl game, the only surprise that I see them is, once again, if they go 4-8 and then they happen to fire Christensen.
That'd be a bigger... So what would be a bigger surprise? Letting him go or making a bowl game?
Letting him go.
Okay, I agree too, because like Matt said, they haven't gone too many bowl games in history, and this would be... They've gone 2 in 4 years. Or no, 2 and 5. It'd be 3 and 6 this year, every other. He's better than Joe Glenn, even though he was a pretty... Everybody liked him, I believe, but... least to stay, and he did a pretty good job for at least the first half of his tenure. So I would say more of a surprise at bowl games than firing him. I think. Well, no, because it's Wyoming. Unless they go like 1-10, 1-11, or something, he's going to hang around. I just unless they somehow lose to Hawaii, and then Matt would be well. No, it wouldn't matter. He'd still be going there. I'm like, well, if it was Hawaii, they won't play him. Then I'm like, wait a minute, why would they not play them next year?
Yeah,
I am going well. That was where I'm like thinking of it. I don't know what I think with that topic, but I think I agree with you. I'd see them. It'd be more of a surprise if him being let go in a bowl game, just because Wyoming hasn't been good for a long time. They've had increment success over the past, I'd say over the past 20 years. They've been a couple good years here and there, bad years, good years, bad years. And Clint, I want to talk really quickly about the Mexico game. Will that 7,200 feet affect New Mexico at all? Will Bob Davie be wearing an oxygen mask on the sideline the whole game?
I think actually that might be. We all know Bob Davie's alien-ish, so.
When he has a Bane mask instead, is that right?
Yeah, yeah. He's going to go out and enter, hello, everybody. I have come to wrought chaos upon the Wyoming football team.
For those who are wondering, that was Chris's attempt at a Bane impersonation for Batman.
It was pretty bad. I'll have to try harder next time.
You got your football bob down, so that's good. So, yeah, I guess if I'm going to put my name on the mark for, as we'll do in the prediction show next week, but we're so close, I'm going to just go with 5 wins for them. I may change a couple of days, but I'm going to say they'll beat Idaho, beat Northern Colorado, beat Colorado State and Hawaii and Texas State. So I don't think they'll be able to beat New Mexico.
Well, we'll find out.
We'll find out. Oh, so you're going to wait to say your prediction next week?
Yes.
That's fine. I'll give away all my answers now, but just stay tuned for that. The prediction show next, within the week, because football season, like I said, 11 days away. And just check out MWCConnection.com. We'll have video up soon. Is that safe to say?
Hopefully.
With your new computer, is it working well enough?
No, I haven't gotten it yet.
Oh, we'll discuss this offline. I thought you said you were messing with it today, so.
No. It comes in tomorrow.
Oh, never mind then. But yeah, look for that. We're doing some offensive team previews. Look for everything. Football's here. That's all we want to care about. And just check out MWCConnection.com just for all the latest Mountain West news. And everybody thanks for listening. That's all we'll say. Thank you.